Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. By now, you've likely scanned the headlines on biznews.com or caught the interviews on the channel. But the real story often lives in the margins, the context that doesn't make the press release and the whispers we pick up after the record button stops. Whether it's the shifting sands of geopolitics or the political currents shaping our economy, that is what we do here. We strip away the polish to tell you the backstory and why it actually matters. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for our premium members. It's Monday, the 23rd of February, 2026. Let's have a look behind the curtain. Well, we're gearing up for tomorrow. Once a month, I get together with the premium members and share the latest update on the BizNews portfolios. We've got two of them. Well, three, I suppose, strictly speaking. The Ricardo portfolios, which were recently launched, are monthly investments. So every month, we recommend that you put a certain amount aside, whether it's 50 Rand, 100 Rand, 1,000 Rand, 100,000 Rand, but you put in a set amount that you can afford that is part of your savings plan. And by doing this, you don't have to worry about the short-term changes in share prices. You are in a long-term investment program and you are taking advantage of Rand cost averaging. So we have the Ricardo portfolio, which is based in South Africa, the ZAR Ricardo portfolio, and the Ricardo portfolio based on US stocks. Recently, the US portfolio has come under a little bit of pressure. The South African portfolio has done pretty well, but we'll be talking about both of those in the webinar tomorrow if you're a premium member, which presumably you are because you're listening to this podcast. Just pick up the link from the newsletter, the premium newsletter, or indeed you can go onto the website and you should be able to get the link there as well. If not, if all else fails, send an email to support@biznews.com and the team will make sure that you have the link so that you can register, so that you can join me tomorrow at noon. It's going to be an interesting podcast. An interesting webinar. Amongst the stocks that we have been talking about there is Sasol, because Sasol is in the Shift portfolio. So I've told you about the Ricardo portfolios, which are the Rand cost averaging. The Shift portfolio is 4 years old. Sasol's in there, done very well. And in fact, now it's back to an 18-month high. Results were out today, 6 months to the end of December. And they make very difficult reading. I wrote a piece for BizNews on it, so there's lots more detail there. But essentially, you've got to understand Sasol is a company that is dependent mostly on what happens to the oil price in Rand terms. And what that means is when you hear the oil price in dollars, and if the Rand is strong, then the oil price, all other things being equal, if the Rand is strong, the oil price in dollars being steady, then Sasol's revenues will fall. If the oil price in dollars is steady and the Rand is weak, then Sasol's revenue will go up, because Sasol's major income stream is priced in terms of the oil price in rands. And what's been happening recently is that the oil price has been weak until very recently. In other words, it didn't improve soon enough to come into this set of financial results, which is at the end of December. We've seen some real bumps in the oil price, largely due to what's going on in Iran and the American fleet that has, it's the biggest buildup of military hardware since in the Middle East since the Iraq War, so the invasion of Iraq. So you remember last time there was a big buildup of troops, that was when Putin sent them to the border with Ukraine. Most people, including those who live in Ukraine, believed he'd never do it. Well, we know the answer to that story. And in this case, there are still negotiations going on. You have to remember that Donald Trump did tell the protesters, of which thousands, were killed, many of them in cold blood, just mowed down, executed by the Iranian security forces. He did tell them that America's got your back. Well, the negotiations are continuing now, and it'll be interesting to see how much that weighs on decisions that come forward. But he's not the president, as the commander-in-chief of the American forces, is certainly not sending us signals that there's going to be a peaceful end to this story. The result has been that the oil price has been rising. It's now over $70 a barrel. And traders say that about $10 of that is due to the premium that's being put on because of the uncertainty and the impact that an American invasion of Iran would have, or an American war with Iran. Doesn't seem likely that they'd be sending hundreds of thousands of troops there. But anyway, the consequences of an American war with Iran is that the oil price will rise because the supply of oil from Iran, which is a major oil supplier, would be lower. So we'll put all of that together. Sasol is doing much better. The share price is 18-month high, but that's not based on the financial results that came out for the 6 months to end December, which had a lower oil price and a stronger rand. The rand is still kind of hanging in there. We're at about around 16 to the US dollar. So the rand is stable, but the oil price has been rising. So Sasol is now doing better in its revenues. The big ticket story on Sasol is that the debt has to go below $3 billion before Sasol starts paying dividends again. So that's the ticket to look at. And in the interim results to end December, the debt was $3.8 billion. So there's still $800 million that needs to be sorted out before Sasol can start paying dividends again. Another big story today that we've got on BizNews is the from our partners at the Financial Times, and it's written by Rashid Sharma, who is the chairman of Rockefeller International and a best-selling author of two books well worth reading, Breakout Nations, which is a book that I've got in my bookshelf, and his most recent book, What Went Wrong with Capitalism. He writes beautifully. So it's almost, even if you're not interested in business and finance and economics and gold, who isn't interested in gold, but if you aren't interested in any of those things, it's just worth reading. And I looked into his background, and Rashid actually started writing for the Economic Times in India when he was 17 years old. And I thought I was an early starter working for the Citizen in financial journalism at 20, but he's way ahead of me on that score. And I'll tell you what, there are very few people who can write as beautifully as he does. And it's a quite beautifully written piece, and one with great relevance for South Africans, because the gold price nowadays is determining the rand. It sounds crazy, but when the gold price rises, then the rand strengthens. Even though gold is not the force that it was for South Africa's balance of payments. Back in 20, 30 years ago, when South Africa was the biggest gold producer in the world, well, when the gold price went up, you knew that the rand would strengthen and vice versa, because there was a heck of a lot of money that was coming into the country. But it's almost like there's a little bit of a psychological story here that when gold goes up, international, those desk jockeys who are driving the spreadsheets in New York, London, Tokyo, Shanghai, when they see gold going up, they say, oh, take a bet on the rand. Anyway, Rishir Sharma has applied his mind to gold, and he's been a gold bull for a long time, he shares with us. He's become agnostic on gold now, he reckons. And he then goes into details about why gold is reacting completely differently to the way that it has in the past. And this is something that we at BizNews know, because our guru, Peter Major, has been saying, but when you look at all the ratios of gold, be it to interest rates or the money market, as he puts it, be it to the S&P 500 index, be it to GDP or share of GDP, anything you want to consider, the gold price is now at record levels. And what Rashir explains, and remember, this is a guy who spent 25 years at Morgan Stanley, and apart from his best-selling books, he also owns or runs his own investment firm called Breakout Capital, not surprisingly. He's the founder and CEO there. I suppose if you write a book which is a world bestseller called Breakout Nations, you're very likely to use the Breakout name for your company when you decide to start an investment company. And even there, he says that the reason for the gold price going the way that it's going is not explained by the normal things. The retail market is big, and this time the retail market is not in India, which is a traditional purchaser, but China, where the aunties, as he puts it, have been in full force buying gold as an investment. The investment demand for gold is 35% of total demand, and that's double in the last year. So from 24 to 25, the investment demand has doubled. And anyway, there's a heck of a lot more to the story. There's central bank buying, there's concerns over inflation. But when you read Rashir, he says you've kind of got to just forget all the old things, at least for now, with gold, because it's broken all of the rules, and none of the old models explain why the gold price is doing what it's doing, but it could continue to do this for a lot longer. Good story. Great story, actually, and well worth getting hold of. Another great story and another great writer is our own Justice Malala. Oh, man, Justice has got away with a pen. And he now writes primarily for Bloomberg, and he's really great to have in that audio, in that, on that platform, because he writes for the world and tells the world about South Africa, and with his educated pen shows that the story, the South African story, actually gets understood better. And he's written a really good piece, which we have republished, Bloomberg also a partner of ours, on BizNews Today, about Helen Ziller and Patrice Motsepe. There's been an interesting story about, starting with Ziller. She is going into Johannesburg. Franz Kronier said that it was the greatest card, or the greatest political strategy in a long time, if not ever in the new South Africa, for Ziller to say that's where she's going to focus her attention. She's got the track record. She's got the reputation. She's known as the Iron Lady. Helen's from Joburg. She was born there. She grew up there. She grew up in pretty modest means. She worked at the Rand Daily Mail. I know, because I worked there with her for a brief period of time. I was one of the little guys, reporters on the Business Mail, which was the business section. And Helen was this, I think she must have been in her 30s then, was this absolute giant of financial journalism back then, where the Rand Daily Mail was in the forefront of exposing the horrors that were perpetrated by the apartheid government. And she did it every day. She was going into the townships exposing malfeasance by the regime, and played a huge role in bringing attention of South Africans. The world kind of knew what was going on a lot more than South Africans did. Unfortunately, back in those days, and many forget it, but a lot of what was written in that newspaper, and a few other newspapers as well, but primarily the Rand Daily Mail was the one making the running, was actually blacked out through state of emergency. I mean, you can imagine what used to happen on the business side. They never bothered about us. They just let our stories run. But on the political side, you'd get the front page of a newspaper with big blocks in black, big blocks of your type that was blacked out and you couldn't read it. I mean, it was actually bizarre. But that was the rule. So what happened, Alistair Sparks was our editor. You would make up the paper. The lawyers presumably came in and said, can't publish that, can't publish that, can't publish that. You're going to all go to jail. And so they would have to ink it out. And that's the world that Helen Ziller worked in. And boy, was she something. Anyway, Helen went on to leave journalism, go into education, then go into politics because she felt that education was being messed up. And the rest is history. So now we have the 75-year-old activist with the energy of a 25-year-old who has decided she's going back home to Johannesburg. Remember, she's been the mayor of Cape Town. She was the mayor of the best mayor in the world when she was running Cape Town. And the premier of the Western Cape, where she's secured for her political party, the DA control there. She's so smart, very savvy, someone that I always listen to and read her statements because she doesn't take prisoners. She just tells the truth. And that's rare in politics and very, very interesting for somebody who comes from outside of politics and looks at the political scene and kind of shakes your head as you do so often because there's a lot of stuff that's being said in politics that doesn't seem to make sense. And, you know, you have too many people in that area where their principles change day to day. Not all of them. There's some good people, but Helen is certainly the flag bearer for it. And off she goes to do a photo op of sitting on the side of a pothole, which is as deep as a swimming pool, with her feet in as though she were sitting on the side of a swimming pool. And, of course, that went viral. And, well, Helen is really putting in a strong run. She's going to be at the Biz News Conference in mid-March. So will her competitor as mayor of Johannesburg, Herman Mashaba. He'll also be there. Be very interesting to see how the two of them engage. I'm pretty sure that there's no love lost between the two of them, but it'll be interesting to see how the two of them shape up to become for the candidate. They're both candidates from their party for Johannesburg, which is the richest city in Africa. Who knows where it is now? But Helen thinks she can fix it. It's her hometown. There's clearly a lot of emotion and passion there. And Justice writes about it. And he writes that many black people will be voting for this white woman, which is inconceivable if you go back 30 years. But it just shows how we're maturing as a democracy. He also refers to Patrice Motsepe. Now, here's another interesting story. France Grenier mentioned earlier, France is a wonderful political analyst who now has his own little media operation. Well, I don't know how little they are, but anyway, it's called The Common Sense. It's a media operation. And France is really on the production treadmill now, and he's pushing out stuff all the time, him and his team. But I know you can see he's pretty involved there. And he has been floating and promoting maybe the idea of Patrice Motsepe entering the race for the president of the ANC, which is next year. And as a consequence of that, standing as the ANC's presidential candidate in 2029, which is our next national election. So it's a long way from here to there. He's got lots of other ambitions. I remember asking him once in an informal setting, and he certainly said that his ambitions seem to be in soccer. He loves soccer. He owns Mamelodi Sundowns, which has been a South African football team that has done fantastically well with his support, financial support. They've managed to get good players and they've done well on the African front, and he's been the president of African football as well. So he's kind of got his way towards becoming the president of international football. Now, whether Patrice would abandon those ideas and become president of the ANC and all that that entails, and president of South Africa and all that, that entails, if the ANC isn't completely broken, is anybody's guess. But Justice suggests in his piece that were that to happen, it wouldn't be a bad thing for the country. Sure. Lots of interesting stuff to read on BizNews. And we've also got a fabulous piece from The Economist, our partners in London, The Economist, where they talk about what international investors are increasingly called the software apocalypse. It's almost like every time Anthropic, which has got tools that anybody can use, which leverage artificial intelligence, just about every time Anthropic brings out a new product, there's another scare because investment analysts look at it and say, whoa, hang on, this is going to take Cloudflare out, or this is going to the security out, or this is going to take XYZ out, because the software coding, which was the preserve of some companies that made a lot of money selling their software, can now be done almost as easily by someone who's got no experience. And there's a really good piece in The Economist on that topic, which is, of course, on BizNews today. Well, I'm going to leave it there for today. Don't forget to join me every morning, every time I talk to somebody before I interview them, or just in a casual chat. Say, have you been listening to Daybreak? You know, Daybreak's my new adventure. I love doing it, but I have to get up real early in the morning, so I hope that I'm not getting up for nothing. And I'm surprised at how many people have actually picked up on it. Daybreak is a very popular program. It's our morning business show. I get it to you by 6:30 at the latest. So please come along, get your Daybreak in the morning, and you'll be well prepared for the day. But this editor's desk is the backstory, the inside story. So keep your eye on the newsletter, premium newsletter, for links to our freshest published content, including signing up for tomorrow's webinar. Look forward to being with you there. And thank you for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.